Oh, do you believe in magic? And not the sleight of the hand or card trick magic, but the real ceremonial and ritual magic. Is it real or just part of people's imagination? And how do you do magic, even if you wanted to do magic? And does it give results? And most importantly, can science explain how it works, assuming it does? Well, these and other questions we'll be discussing tonight on Science and Beyond with me, Dr. John DeSalvo, and my fabulous co-host, Joe Montalvo, owner of 107.7 FM, United Public Radio. And we are live on YouTube, SoundCloud, and probably another 100 other outlets. I've authored 3 books on Enochian magic. So, I know quite a bit about it and I give a lot of talks on it. But tonight I want to have some fun with Joe and discuss some basic things about it. And I'm hoping people send in a lot of questions. You know, as a professor, I love questions, especially this topic, because everybody's interested in it. And on Facebook, that's the most questions I usually get messaged about Enochian magic. And maybe it's because I have 3 books on it and people read them. So this is your opportunity to call in and go on the chat room or whatever. I'm on Messenger live now, so you can, if you're a friend on Facebook. And but let me bring in Joe. And how you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. A little crazy, a little hype, a lot of stuff going on in the world. I don't see myself in cam yet, so we'll have to see what's going on that. But guys and girls, remember, we are on YouTube. I mean, I don't know how to say this without being mean, but it is our least listened to venue. And John and I are good looking guys, man. I mean, come on.
Well, you're a
I
good
mean,
looking
you,
guy.
y'all are missing out here, man. I mean, come on, get out there. Look, you know, John's single too. Y'all you might find, you know, look, ladies, I'm just saying. Yeah, y'all need to get out there and check us out, come out and hang out with us and stuff. But really, dang it. But really, sorry about you guys. It's but really, you really should come hang out and watch us and enjoy the show because, you know, a lot of times John and I, you'll see us posting, sticking things up on the camera or bringing things up on the computers. So you're really missing out on a lot of shows, especially when we're doing hardcore science or other stuff like that. Even with like John Elite last week. We had stuff like his just some stuff that John had sent me, pictures and stuff, news covers and things like that. You could see those up there as well. John was reading out a couple of books week before last and showing you the information out of them. I pull up a lot of website information and stuff like that. So y'all are really missing out when you're not using it. So we just encourage people to, you know, go try the YouTube site out. We're just trying to build it up so it's worth keeping around. So go check it out. Now I got to ask John, what the hell is Enochian magic? I'm like, what are we talking about here, man? I mean, you
Well,
know, I know a lot of magic, so I'm kind of curious here.
whoa, here we go. You know, I was going to say, how did a biophysicist and neurophysiologist get involved in Enochian magic? And it's basically magic in general, the theory behind it, whether it's Enochian magic or many different kinds. Why I got interested in Enochian magic, and then I'll try to answer your question, is because it seems that was the most popular one that people got results with. In fact, Aleister Crowley said Enochian magic is so powerful you don't even have to have any magical ability for it to work. And Israel Wigarty said that also. And so most of the magical groups, I mean, they do a lot of different things, but focus on Enochian magic because it seems to be the one that does work. And I've developed a technique, which I'll talk about tonight and pass it on to everyone, how you can do it by yourself in your home for basically nothing. And you don't need to join magical groups and spend a lot of money. And it works just as effective as, being in a group. In fact, even more. Salute.
Folger, hey, Folger's in my cup. Well,
Hey.
Folger's in the Santa Claus cup tonight.
And I got some research. I was so impressed with
Oh,
Folger's, which
good.
we'll talk about later. But so magic, the theory behind magic is that, you know, we live in this physical world. Now, obviously, most academics and scientists think that's it. They don't believe in a higher realms or a paranormal universe, but I do. And the idea that this, I don't know if you want to call it the astral, the etheric, the heavenly, who knows what it is. But what I'm saying is there's a higher reality, which actually is more real than our physical world. And you know, Joe, the Rosicrucian motto is as above, so below, right? So we're really a reflection of that higher realm. So the idea of magic is if we can manipulate or contact that higher realm where we think is where most of the angels or different angels reside and work, we can change the physical world through the astral. And the idea is there's both angels and demons there. So there could be magic that I there's really no such thing as black and white magic. It's like electricity. You know, you can use electricity for good or evil, or a gun for good or evil. But there's a, if indeed, now I'm not saying magic is real. I mean, I'm going to talk about that tonight, something I want to discuss and I want to be challenged with. But if it is real, yes, it can be good, used for good or evil. And so the question is, does it work? And we'll be talking about that. But the magic, Enochian magic, is based, to answer your question, on Dr. John Dee and Edward Kelly's work in contacting angels in the 16th century. Now, Dr. John Dee was a famous mathematician. Actually, he wrote the preface to Euler's Geometry. And he was one of the most brilliant people. He taught the navigators. He had the largest private collection of manuscripts. So he hooked up with this person known as Edward Kelly, who was a scryer. A scryer is someone who looks in a crystal ball and can see the other world and see angels and whatever. And together, and John Dee also was the advisor to Queen Elizabeth I. And we also believe he was a spy. And the James Bond series is based on Dr. John Dee, because 007, John Dee used to sign all his correspondence to the Queen with two eyes and an inverted square root sign, which looks like 007. And so Ian Fleming took that and gave that to James Bond as his character. So it's very interesting. So he was actually a spy and a magician. And he wasn't, it wasn't until he was in his 50s that he felt, you know, I don't know if you said it this way, but, you know, I've kind of know almost all worldly knowledge that's important, and I still don't know the answers to the big questions. So the only way to get those is if I can contact higher beings, which would be angels. And he believed there's different levels of heavens, realms, which he called aethers, and I may be referring to those. So that's kind of the setup. So Enochian magic is the idea of trying to move into those higher realms through your mind, through your whatever spiritual body, and contact angels and experience those dimensions.
I don't want to be talking to no angels, so it's time to cross over, man. You know, let's leave them out of the picture here. You know, usually when angels come and talking to you, it's not a good thing. It's usually like, well, it's time for you to come on the other side and have a little visit tonight. Or, well, you know, you're not been being a good little boy here lately. We need to talk about this. I'm just saying, that's my own personal experiences, people. Don't write to John about this. I'm just telling you what I know here. But I'm always interested in any kind of magic. I always have been. Since I was a young boy, I had a fascination with it. Maybe because I grew up in New Orleans. Maybe I grew up in a witchy family. Who knows what the hell it was. But I mean, really, I have. I mean, you know, I learned a lot of different things growing up. You know, I got to study with some of Crowley's relatives, and it was an interesting thing for me. And I learned a lot of stuff. But, you know, it's funny because my wife actually studied with Gavin and Yvonne, which I always call a white witchy magic. And she always gives me shit about it. I'm like, you know that. I said, that's that fairyland magic. That's not real magic. She's like, yeah, it works as good as anything else. I'm like, oh, whatever you say, baby. I said, that's what those, you know. That's that fluffy tailed, you know, fairies flying around. Anyway, I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm just teasing people. But I'm having fun tonight. But some of the stuff I learned was is much darker. And of course, you know, Carly was big into sex magic, and really big into sex magic. But you know what? They weren't the only one. There's a UFO group out there. Oh, what are their names? Oh God, come on, don't slip me now. They're like a cultish UFO group. Well, to enter, you got to do certain sexual acts. Yes, this is a UFO group, people.
No, are they doing magic? Is it sexual magic they're doing?
They are. They're doing both. So it's like an introduction.
I was going to ask you about that. So that's interesting.
So it's like an indoctrination is what it really is. I guess they figure if everybody, you know, knows each other personally like that, it'll keep their secrets better. I don't know what the hell it is. I think they're out of France. And the guy has been trying to buy up the Holy Land because something he believes they're coming back to the Temple Mount or something. I had to look at it, people. It went out of my brain. We actually had two of our directors infiltrated them. That's how we found out about it. God, why can't I remember their name now? But anyway, I'll look as John's talking tonight. I'll look them up and later
on. Yeah, that'd be interesting. So basically, there's UFO alien sex magic. It sounds interesting.
Very, very strange. That's very cool. Could be fun. I mean, I'm not hating people. You know,
whatever people.
We're not talking about that tonight. Don't ask that question. Sorry.
But you know, it's funny. I've gotten actually a lot of questions this last few weeks about Enochian sex magic, which is pretty popular. But that's one area I really never. If there was like a hole in my research in my books, is that I never really was interested in it because I didn't honestly feel it worked or it was really effective. Hey, that could be like alien toga parties. What do you think, Joe?
Actually, from what the old timers say, sex magic is the most powerful magic on the planet tenfold. I don't know. I mean, you know what? How are we supposed to know that? I mean, people, y'all getting weird with your questions tonight. I'm sorry. I ignore the chat for a minute.
By the way, you mentioned something really interesting at the beginning about angels, because people always look at angels as these loving, helpful, wonderful creatures. But, you know, 90% of the people out there that talk about angels and post about angels love you and this and that don't understand the working of angels. So really you have to read the books of Enoch 1, 2, and 3 and and what the angels really are messengers of, if you want to call it God, the force, the energy. And they don't have a lot of emotion or feelings, but they have to carry out a duty or a job for what we'll call that power God. And they sometimes aren't as concerned with humans as most of these angelologists think they do. So it's very interesting. But the point being is that angels are messengers. That's how they're defined if you go to the etiology of their name. And they are. Now, I'm not saying they don't help us. Yes, we supposedly have guardian angels, and there's some incredible stories that people tell. So the whole idea of magic is that John Dee, by contacting these so-called angels, discovered that there are like 30 different like realms or heavens, Joe, that start like at 30 and go to 29, all the way up to 1. The higher you go, the higher spiritually the realm is. And each realm has 3 or 4 angels as like gatekeepers. They call them, what's the word I can't think of. But so the idea is, and I've explored through most of them. And the interesting thing is when people ask me, how do I know it's not my imagination or subconscious or anybody else that does magic? And unfortunately, I think there's very few people that really do real magic, and a lot of it is imagination and wishful thinking. But when I started doing Enochian magic, the most famous Enochian magician was Aleister Crowley. And he wrote a book called The Vision and the Voice, which you may have heard of. And he documents, like through a diary, his voyages through all 30 aethers. So when I started doing Enochian magic, Lon Milo Duquette, who, you know, we had on our show, and for a short time we did a program, was like my mentor. And he said, don't read Crowley's book. Go through the aethers first and take your notes and then compare it. And it was great advice, because I felt as a scientist, if these realms were a real objective place, different people would experience the same things, or similar, right? I mean, maybe not exactly.
Yeah.
So I did that, and the correlation was very high. It wasn't 100%, because you got to figure the spiritual stuff goes through your physical body, and you know, each person you and I looking at a sunset may describe it differently. But many people who I believe are true magicians have described the angels in those areas, very similar to what I experienced. And there's a high level of correlation. Now, that doesn't rule out there could be some, I always like to play the devil's advocate, some, you know, universal unconsciousness, you know, that there's this kind of fantasy world that we're all tapping into. I can't rule that out. As a neurophysiologist, I believe that there's certain areas in the cortex that may have been dormant and act now, but active in ancient times. So magic was more of a real practice and real of a more effectual. So that's, again, that's speculation. Like a lot of people think, you know, most people, maybe early man may have been more psychic and we lost that ability. It's interesting speculation.
Psychics have always had trouble with, because I just, over years, I've done a lot of research on psychic abilities. God, over the last 30 years, I've done a lot of research on it. And I used to be under the opinion, like everybody was, oh, well, everybody has some psychic ability. But I found that out not to even be close to true. Right. And I'll challenge anybody that doesn't believe me. This is an easy thing for you. You can do the card test on anybody. Pick two cards. I like to use colored cards, you know, two colors. Just lay them flat. You look at them, lay them flat in front of you, concentrate to the person across from you. So the color of the cards. Okay. You can, they don't even have to know. I mean, you can just do, let them pick the colors blank, or you can tell them it's green and blue. Which card am I thinking about? I got to tell y'all this. Most people don't even get 50-50. It's like 30, 70, 60, 40. Yeah. They don't even get 50-50. So if you had any latent telepathic ability, you'd get at least 50-50. You'd probably get like 60-40, but you don't. You do run across a few people that really have gifts, but it seems to be a much smaller segment of the population than anybody wants to admit to. And there could be lots of reasons why it's small, and there could be lots of reasons why a lot of people don't possess it. And it could be something to do with your disposition or your DNA or your blood. It could be a lot of things, but as it stands right now, it's an easy test. People, you can go to any mall. I've done this more than 100 times. You can go anywhere and just do the test. Or you know what? You don't want to do that? Just flip a coin. Have somebody. Well, flipping a coin is a little different because that's like telling the future. Because you're guessing what it's going to land on. So that's more like telekinesis. But clairvoyancy. But for the average psychic, all they need to know is what's in your head. So if you're looking, if you got a quarter underneath your hand, if it's on heads, they should know it because you've looked at it. You got a tail, they should know it. You got the two cards. And now if you find somebody who gets the cards regularly right, you can expand the test into something much larger and something more detailed. You can bring it all the way into the heaven and read paragraphs to you, because a really good psychic can. But, you know, it's like I said, the majority of people just don't seem to possess that ability. I wish they did, because I got to be honest with y'all. If we were all telepathic, I think the place would be a much better place to live, because, you know, lies would come to a screeching halt for most people.
Well, you said something very true, and I get a lot of arguments with it, and I'm glad you said it, because I believe it. Not all people have psychic abilities. It's like music ability. Some people are a Caruso, and some people like me can't carry a tune. Some people are great mathematicians, and some aren't. And so, and here's the thing, and this is where I get the most criticism. I say that of the people that out there claim psychic ability, less than 5%, maybe 1%, are really true psychics. Now, that doesn't mean the other ones are charlatans. There's a certain percentage, which I think is very low, but there's also a percentage of people that really believe it, but it's their imagination or wishful thinking. Then there's people that may have the fireworks. Nobody's shooting at me. Oh, by the way, I should say that last week's show with John Alight, John Gotti's bodyguard, you know, I thought, and that was
yes,
a great
by the way,
show.
He said, if you don't listen to this show, watch out.
But listen, please, listen, go back, people listening, listen to last week's show. We had John Alight, who was John Gotti's enforcer and bodyguard. We did, I spliced out 6 minutes of the show, and we did the Hitman Lightning round, where I name names and he mentions how he killed them. So, I mean, but it was really a great 2-hour interview. So please go. And what did we call it? John Alight, John Gotti's enforcer and Hitman, I think, right?
On SoundCloud show? So, that's what the title is. It'll be the last Science to be on before this one. This one will be posted later tonight. So right now it's on the favorites list. on SoundCloud. If you get there later tonight, it'll probably be down and you'll have to look for it. But just type in Science and Beyond, John Light, will come right up, and bam, he'll be right there. It was a great interview. It was a fun interview. He was very informative. He was very pointed in what he was talking about. And to answer, I'm glad John brought this up because I needed to address this anyway. I had quite a few people write to me and ask me why we brought him on as a guest. Well, that tells me you have not listened to the interview. There's a specific reason he was on it. If you go listen to what he's talking about, yes, we talked about a lot of stuff he's been through, a lot of the mobster stuff. But we also told everybody what he was working on. And that was to help children, not children, but young women to stay out of the mob.
Yes.
So he's got an organization out there for this. You should make a donation. You should get involved. He's been for the last 10 years working to get people, you know, out of this and to help them get out of this. So, yes, there was a reason things were going on the way they were. And it was a very informative interview. And it, but I tell people, if you're a little squeamish, you might not want to listen to this. Some of the stuff in there is a little tough. I mean, we talked about some serious stuff that he was involved in, and from baseball bats to shooting people to other things. So, yeah, if you're squeamish, you might not want to listen. But it's a great interview. I tell everybody to go listen and really listen to what we were talking about that night and what this man's life has come to today. And that's what's the most important part about that interview. Sorry about that, John. Go ahead,
babe. No, I'm glad you said that, because I got just the opposite. I got overwhelmed with people that really loved it.
Oh, most of everybody I talked to loved the interview. That wasn't an issue. I just had a couple of people asking why he brought
it. We got like thousands of hearts too. I mean, we're almost at a million SoundCloud listeners.
Great.
I think we're 5,000. I just checked, we're like 5,000 low. So help us get that. I've never had a million on SoundCloud, so that would be great. And like you said, the Senka Chance program helps people. And he also talked about the Psychic Godfather, about readings and things. So, you know, maybe he wasn't the perfect description for Science and Beyond, but that's why we called it Beyond. I mean, we want to get all types of people that we're here not only for education, but to entertain, a combination. You can't educate without entertaining. And I think that's what we're trying to do. We're bringing on guests that do both. And so I don't want to limit our show. So anyway, that was a good plug for that. And Joe, that was one of the most fun shows I've ever done. And
y'all gonna have to excuse all the 4th of July activities outside. I'm sure every now and then it's gonna trigger off my dog. So, it is 4th of July, people. It's 4th of July weekend. A lot going on. I live in the Gulf Coast, so they're gonna be blowing stuff up left and right all weekend. And for everybody coming down to Mississippi, remember, be safe, be kind, and watch out for the state troopers because they are out in force, my friends. If you're allergic to state troopers, don't get on the interstate.
are they out for speeding or drinking?
They're out after everything. What they do on the holidays, like started midnight yesterday, going through midnight Sunday, they call it enhanced enforcement. So almost all the troopers are on the road. If you're speeding, you're going to get stopped and get a ticket. They also said if you get pulled over excessive speed, you're going to be roadside analyzed to see, you know, going to make you take a roadside sobriety test. Not where you blow anything, but where you touch your nose, lift your feet. Of course, they're looking for drunk drivers, distracted drivers, loaded drivers. They're looking for all of that. And Mississippi is famous for setting up roadblocks. Attention.
You mean they actually stop the cars?
Oh, yeah. Now, it's all over. Wow. Most states now do it. Well, real quick, because I don't want to get distracted, but about a decade ago, all the states in the union decided they want to do what they called safety checks. So everybody started challenging it, because when they stop you and ask you to see your driver's license insurance, they're assuming you're guilty until you prove yourself innocent. So the court said, we will allow it, but they have to tell you about it first. Well, every state had its own way. Louisiana will announce it on some random radio station 1 hour before the roadblock. That's what their law says. Mississippi has to put it in a newspaper 3 days before the roadblock.
You're kidding. Wow.
They put it in some little slinky place somewhere. They also do the same thing with, you know, all the states do the same thing. So, because it is really illegal to stop somebody without probable cause. But they can get away with it. So they set up a roadblock. The other night, matter of fact, this video I posted online last week, they were out in front of my house on the main highway by the guys that live right on the Gulf. They were out there stopping people while I was doing the drag races last weekend. So the cops were letting them peel out and take off from the red light. I was like, you got to be kidding me. They were having fun. You get the cops. They were giggling. Yeah, I videotaped the thing. I was like, I ought to turn them in for keeping me awake. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning and stuff. But, you know, so anyway, be alert, people. If you're out this weekend, don't drink and drive. Don't get loaded and drive.
No,
park your damn car. Call a cab. Get a friend. You know, because I might be out there driving sober, and if you wreck my car, I'm going to be really upset.
And by the way, one good advice, too. So I know I knew a lot of cops. I knew cops in the sheriff's office. And I always say, what's the best way not to get a ticket? And they say, attitude, attitude, attitude. So if a cop stops you, cooperate, be respectful, and he can decide whether you get the ticket or not. So
yes, he can. And remember, they're extra specially sketchy right now because of all this other stuff going on.
Yes. So
I would advise this, and this is entirely up to you people, but I would advise treating these cops with respect. They're going to be overworked to start off with. They're going to be tired. They're going to be stressed because they're always worried about all this other stuff going on. So, you know, if you want to have a good experience with them, reciprocate. Unfortunately, if you get stopped, it's because you were breaking the law more than likely. So remember that, people, because cops are people too.
And they heard every excuse in the book. So it's always good to be honest.
They appreciate most cops will appreciate honesty, and a lot of times will cut you a break because of it.
Yes. And if you're not, and you go to a traffic court, I heard you hardly ever win anyway. So your chance is right there with the police officer to really cut the deal, you know, be nice. But anyway, I think it's good to mention this because this
is 4th of July weekend, and people, you just be cautious. That's all we're telling you. All right. You know, just be mindful, because I was on interstate today. It's packed. I mean, interstate is ridiculously packed right now. So, and there's a lot of people out there in a hurry to get places. You know, there's people with boats stacked on their cars, people towing boats, trailers, RVs, trucks, and tons of cars. So just be careful. And this is in COVID areas, and it's that busy. So think about places where it's not COVID ridden and how busy they're going to be.
Yeah, that's true. Just real quick, I went to stop at Walmart today, and it looked like a Trump rally. The parking lot was filled. I went in, there was wall-to-wall people, and I just left. I'm not going to. So I was, why? And I thought, okay, people must be shopping for 4th of July. But, you know, it was amazing at the traffic and people out today. So,
I did that. I stopped in this afternoon, hit the grocery store on the way home, you know, picked up down here you can get fillets by the half and have them sliced in the store. So instead of costing you $20 a steak, they cost you about $8 a steak. Nice dick. You know, boy, it's nice. They get beautiful fillets. But anyway, I'm now making myself hungry instead of talking about what we're supposed to be talking about.
Yeah, I haven't eaten in a while.
I know. I don't want to talk about that because I'll be peeking out after the show. So, but guys, really, just you know, pay attention. It's all we're saying. Respect everybody around you, and maybe everybody will arrive alive.
Maybe just by us mentioning it, some people will think about it. Maybe there'll be less accidents, less tickets. You never know. So, all you do is suggest and to ask people to do their best. So, let me know if you get any questions, too, because I really wanted to be this more informal.
I want to tell you, because there's a question right here, and I wanted to ask you anyway. So,
sure.
Clara writes in from Houston, Texas. Ooh, COVID epidemic there. Should I, like, spray my earplugs here on my screen? I'm teasing before you get mad. So she wants to know, she said she heard we were talking about a Nokia Magic, but she was wanting to know, can this be like, did the Egyptians study things like this or the Sumerians? She's kind of hinting at where did this actually come from?
That is an excellent question. Like I said, if I was doing a lecture, I would actually start there and say that I believe magic started back at the time since early man, when man tried to manipulate the weather, whether he was afraid of it because of the gods or crops or hunting. And the other idea, when somebody died, they buried the corpse because they felt a spirit would come back and haunt. So the thought was, now again, we know the Adam and Eve story is a myth made up to try to explain why evil entered the world. But there's some thought that when man actually reached a certain state, and I hate to use the term God because I don't want it to be religious, but the idea, let's call it the source, this whatever, the light, the creator, gave man a way to communicate with him, a way to have communion with him, and maybe man lost that, and then the angels brought man magic, because that's what magic originally was, to use for a higher spiritual development, not to ask for things, you know, or to manipulate others or try to get money. but to it was a spiritual thing to bring you to higher levels of consciousness. And then it degenerated into what we have today. A lot of people use magic for selfish reasons. But yes, I believe the Assyrians, back the Babylonians, the Egyptians, the Greek. In fact, most of our magic today came from the Arab manuscripts during the Dark Ages. A lot of that, you know, the information was destroyed and the Arabs preserved a lot of it. And so I think magic is as old as man, but it's in different forms. And why that's a key question she asked is that when I was a follower of Meher Baba from India and other Eastern masters, I was also a Sufi for many years. I was told repeatedly by many masters that why meditation is not as easy now as it was thousands of years ago, even 500 years ago, is that, you know, how our physical world has changed, right? You know, pollution, environment, and whatever. But the astral planes, the higher planes, also change. And so there's more noise, there's more disruption. So it's harder to meditate now than it was, say, 2,000 years ago. And the laws of magic have changed. Now, I've actually worked out some equations of magical forces and energies. And for example, on the physical world, you know, the force between two objects is an inverse square law, gravity. Remember? But on the astral plane, it's inverse cube. And I think I'm the only one that actually has ever come out with that. And that's through experiments and theoretical research. Now, so yes, magic is as old as man. There are different forms of magic. And the key thing I really want to have people think about is magic initially was used to help people move to higher spiritual values, higher awareness, spiritual enlightenment. And even Henry Cornelius Agrippa, who wrote three books of occult philosophy back in 1555, I think, that was right in his first or second chapter, that magic is a way for higher consciousness. So, yes, it's as old as man. It comes in different forms. And like anything, it's it can be used as good as evil. Oh, another fallacy I want to make is that people think if your intentions are good, nothing bad is going to happen. And that's furthest from the truth. And the analogy I give, Joe, you could have the best intentions in the world, but you stick your finger in an electrical outlet, you're going to get shocked.
Okay? Yeah, you're going to have kinky hair if you don't get it out of there fast enough.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, no, go ahead. I was going to ask something, but then it just disappears. So go ahead and finish what you were saying.
You being in high security in the Navy and on electronics engineer and all this, you know that you could, the energy is very powerful. And so there's energy in the spiritual world. And so you have to be careful when you do magic. Now, are there evil and good demons or evil and good angels? I'm not going to get into that, but I believe they are. There are forces that want to help man, and there are forces that want to hurt man. And you have to be very, very – and there's also idiot forces or spirits. Like there are on this world, there are a bunch of people that are very smart, loving, and caring, and there's others that are hateful and are very ignorant. And so you're going to find an array of spiritual entities. So you have to be careful who you're conjuring up and what the reason is. And right, Joe, there's never a free lunch.
No, right? Not really. I mean, people, you know, it's funny you said that because people always think, you know, this is something I was told when I got in the radio business, people, y'all should be grateful and take this completely to heart. I was told anything worth having is worth paying for.
I like that.
So, you know, we give away a lot of free content on this network, but, you know, nothing worth having in this life is going to come cheap or free. I mean, maybe your wife, maybe your child, yeah. But even that's not really free because you're going to get married and pay for the wedding, pay for your birth of your child. So, you know, unfortunately, really good things sometimes cost you. And I'm not always talking about money here either, by the way.
No. You know, time and stuff. Yeah.
What do you mean, John? So, John, you're asking John. Wait, let me get this question straight. Oh, all right. I got you. Okay. So, John, stop with all these Johns. Okay, John from Sandestin, Florida, is asking, can you use Enochian magic to ascend or descend. What do you mean by descend? But anyway, let John answer the ascend, and you can explain what you mean by descend. Go ahead, John.
He wanted to know.
I'm sorry, I was way back off the mic.
He wants to use
the. He wanted to know if you can use Enochian magic to ascend to a higher plane. But yeah. He also in the question he said, can you also use it to descend? And I was not quite sure what he meant by that.
Oh, I know what he's talking about. There's actually areas that are reflections of the spiritual realm. You know, again, as above, so below. But you can also go below. In fact, even the tree of life. There's like an evil aspect of a mirror image that goes down to say lower. I don't like to use the word hell because people connotate that with, imagery that's medieval. But yes, so you can ascend and you can descend. If I hate saying this, but a lot of groups that I would call black groups actually wind up using my book, which I'm not thrilled about, but, you know, it's like you invent a computer or a gun and people use it for the wrong reasons. You know, you can't blame the inventor. But I developed a technique that makes it real easy, and it usually is very effective. So, yeah. But these are really excellent questions, by the way, both of them. So, yeah, you can. But the main point is to ascend, to go to higher planes. And that is to open your consciousness to communicate with the angels and basically evolve. See, I believe we're on Earth to evolve spiritually. And, some people believe we're just products of Darwin evolution and the physical world is it. And when we die, we die. Others, you know, believe in a heaven, a this, a that. There's 100,000 probably different theories. But I believe, and this is maybe my faith, that we are here for a purpose. It gives life a purpose, and that's to ascend to higher spiritual consciousness. And many people who meditate notice this. That's why a lot of people meditate. It's not only for you do get physical benefits, because when you're contacting the spiritual planes and you're moving to higher level of consciousness, that energy is going to translate back into your physical body. But I know I better say this real quickly, because if I don't get it, then people are going to get mad. What's the technique? And it's very simple. Forget what all these magical groups do. I think a lot of it is just play acting and embellishment. I've gone back to what Dr. D and Edward Kelly were told by the angels. And that is, they were given what is called an Enochian call. That's like a long mantra in Enochian language. And when you sit and you repeat that, it alters your state of consciousness. Now, I taught biofeedback. I've been hooked up. I'm a neurophysiologist. I've been hooked up to different equipment, and I know when my body changes. So it does alter your consciousness. And so you use this Enochian call. I mean, you can actually look it up on the internet. But what I did was I got the original copies of the manuscripts, the diary of Dr. John D. and Edward Kelly, and all the ones that had been posted in books up to the time I wrote my first book were based on a reprint in 1659. And the person didn't include the marginal notations, and the angels corrected the pronunciations of a lot of the words in the margins. And that was never taken into account. So my book is the first book that gives the Enochian calls or as close as possible to what the angels wanted D and Kelly to pronounce. So that is really the technique. And you can do it sitting down in the chair. I mean, you don't do anything special. I give a protection ritual called the Lesser Banishing Ritual of the Pentagram, which takes about 2 or 3 minutes to do. And I turn the magic into a meditation. I call it a magical meditation. So you actually meditate while you go into these higher planes. And it's very safe and effective. And I actually used to give workshops and almost, I know this sounds crazy, 100%. I used to have people come to my cabin here on the lake, groups of friends, which I never, ever charged. And almost 100% of everybody I taught basically felt they'd entered the planes. And I could actually even observe them, and I would know if one was having trouble or not. So for me, I'm a scientist. I believe it's a real objective reality. But again, remember what you said about psychics? Not everybody can do magic. Not everyone has certain magical ability. One of the greatest compliments Lon Marlow Duquette said to me that I'm a natural for magic. And I tried everything, Joe, in the psychic thing that didn't work. I'm not psychic. I didn't have any luck with the pendulum. I can't do scrying. I can't read tarot cards. I'm like, what the hell can I do? What's left? And magic was like the last thing. And it just, boom, it like worked the first time. And I actually had physical things change around me. I wish I had a cell phone at that time and could have recorded those. But again, the other thing is magic is not for everyone. And this is very important. You should have a kind of, I don't want to say normal state of mind. Nobody's normal. But if you have psychological problems or issues or whatever, magic is not for you. It's not for everyone. In fact, Israel Regardi used to say you should have some counseling before you even do magic. So like I said, nobody's normal. Let's face it. But if you have serious or, you know, medical issues or not medical, but psychological issues, you should resolve those before you do magic. And also, I like always say that we're not responsible for any kind of magic that people do, like even from my books or what we suggest. People can do that on their own. But in the 15 years that I've been teaching magic, I've never had one person contact me that said they had a negative experience. I'm not sure there are people that haven't, but if they follow the directions and are careful, I've never found someone that had a bad experience. So I hope that's helpful, but it's a very simple, it's very similar to meditation. And that's why I'm the first person to turn it into a meditation. It's like what the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi did to TM. He took very complicated meditations and yoga that people needed 20 years to produce and did it using simple mantras that neurophysiologically do work and made it like a simple packaging for the average person to do. And that's kind of what I did. It was like taking the basic, taking all the frills away, let a person be able to do it on their own and experience a higher level of consciousness. And also related to the first question, not everyone may be able to go through all 30 planes. Some may get to the fifth or 10th or 15th, but, and it would take years to go through all of those. I always suggest you need at least a couple of weeks or a month to go through each one, because it's like going into a new room. It's an altered state and you need to experience it first. You don't want to, somebody's showing you their new house. You go in, you don't just walk into the room. Oh, nice. And walk out. No, you look around, you look at the pictures, then you go back again. You may miss something and you get acclimated to it. Then you go to the next level. So I hope that gives a good idea of the technique. And, I'm not, you know, you don't have to buy my book. You could probably find examples on the internet, but my book, as far as I know, is the only one that has the exact Enochian call as the most accurate one, let's say, is the angels told the, I'm just going to try to find a picture of it, but I hope that answered the question. But these are really good questions. Just to give you an idea, this is, I don't know if I can hold this up, but it probably is not going to come out. But the Enochian call, it's a lot of words that don't make a lot of sense. So I guess it's Madriax, Desprof, things like that. Adoian, Mod, Iowad. They're nonsense words like mantras. But I've noticed as a neurophysiologist, when I go into the meditation, I can feel my altered state changing. So I do believe it's now, is it maybe subjective and, you know, collective unconsciousness? And, I can't say that. I think more research needs to be done. But it's something interesting to try. It's not for everyone. And if you try it and it doesn't work or you don't like it, you know, don't continue it.
Yeah, don't continue it. That's good, sound advice. It's like anything. It's like people who do paranormal stuff or bring home attachments and stuff. Sometimes you just shouldn't, you know, it's time to give it up, time to move on. Enough about all of that. And people, don't be scared, you know, if you back yourself into a corner to get help or to say, hey, I can't do this, or maybe you can do it too good and you can't control it. Whatever it may be. You know, I would seek help or I would get out of it, you know, one or the other. Sometimes people can be out there and help you, and sometimes it may just be too much and you might need to move on. Or you just may not have any skill and just not being good at it.
You know, I always recommend meditation first, to be honest with you, Joe. I say, you know, don't buy my books. Don't do the magic. Do some meditation first. Get a feel for yourself to know how to relax, you know, and then it's you know, it's a good thing to have under your belt. And then the magic, though, is like, it's like going from a firecracker to dynamite. I got to say, you know, it, if you do it right, it's pretty spectacular. And but it ain't going to give you the horse races or the lottery numbers or, you know, as far as I can tell, make you rich. I guess it's possible if you know how to manipulate certain forces. But I, that wasn't my reason for doing it. I've always done things to help people, and just because I was interested. And I know this sounds funny. I never made a lot of money. I never did things for money. That's why I became a teacher and a professor. And I always taught usually for free because I felt spiritual things are important. That's a problem I have, again. But I guess people deserve to get paid for being psychics and doing readings because that's their business. But I think it should be, you know, in moderation. And if somebody can't afford it, maybe they should do it for nothing. I mean, I think they should do that in any occupation, medical profession, whatever, you know. I think meditation and magic should be, are very high spiritual tools that the source, angels, or whoever gave to us throughout the eons and eons of man's existence. And they should be used with respect, carefully, and for good, you know, causes. It's uncharted territory, I tell people. And I don't have all the answers. I get a lot of questions, probably more than half I can't answer. And I say, you know, it's uncharted territory. Just, you're going to have to cut your way through it and just be careful. And that's why I like young people, not young people, but people that are solid and researchers getting into this, because they may make a lot of discoveries that I have missed. And my, like a teacher, you want to encourage others to surpass what you've discovered. That's what a good teacher is. You know,
it is what a good teacher is. But, you know, unfortunately, people don't always agree with that. For me, I mean, getting out there and helping people is just a good thing. I've always enjoyed it. Now, I don't mean I want to help everybody out on the planet before anybody starts getting any crazy ideas. Sorry, guys, a little bit of time. You know, it's interesting. I was having a conversation with Michelle DeRoche before this, and we were talking about, you know, helping people out. People are approaching us. How mm-hmm. What's the best way to go to people? What's the best way? You know, for like John, sure. Like, you can email us and ask us about things. Doesn't necessarily mean we can get back to you right away. We've got a lot of stuff going on in our lives, but you never, you know. I say this to all my grandkids and kids and everybody. If you don't ask, you don't know. You can write to me. If I'm too busy or something else is going on, there's a long wait, I'll write back to you and say, hey, you might go talk to such and such about this. Or if you can wait, you know, we can help you out maybe in the fall or something. But, you know, it's just how it is sometimes. And when you do radio and you're in research, and sometimes it gets a little overwhelming. And you got to put things off. So, you know, I tell people all the time, ask, write. And wait for a response. It's all you can really do. Not just with us, but anybody. But get out there and do it. I mean, you know, don't be scared to ask. Because again, if you don't ask, you can't find out. Go ahead.
Look at your life. You served in the Navy in a high level, high security. You've done a lot of things. You did it to serve the country. You didn't just do it for selfish reasons, right? I mean, you got benefits from it, but I bet your motivation was, you know, patriotism and wanting to do something that would be significant and contribute.
You know, well, a lot of things for me in the Navy, because I wanted to join. I wanted to be part of something that would help out. But also, you know, help me get an education. I got to see the world. I mean, there's a lot of benefits to these kind of things. You know, people tell me all the time, you should never put your kids in the service. Well, that's not true. You don't want to ever put your kid in the war zone. But America's not really at war with anybody. And when you're in the Navy or the Air Force, odds that you're going to see front line of anything is highly unlikely unless we're in a major conflict, you know, maybe with Russia or China. So it's not what y'all think about it. And the education standards are much higher in the military. And what I mean by that, you can, like in the Navy, especially what I was in, you had to ace every test. You could not miss one question was a failing grade. Could be a 100-question test, could be a 500-question test. It didn't matter. You missed one question, you were out. You
really?
You didn't get kicked out immediately, but you failed. If you did that two times, you were put on probation. The third time, you were kicked off the course. That's it. They didn't play around with that because they believe if anybody studies and listens, there's no reason for you to miss the questions. It's really a simple concept with them. Then they want the best of the best of the best of the best of the best, like in Men in Black. We want the best of the best of the best, so that's what they want. And that's why you find so many military people working in jobs, you know, in high-level, high-skilled jobs around the country is because of the way they were trained. So it's like anything. With the right teacher and the right training, you can usually achieve what you're looking for. It's just, you know, like if you're doing magic, you'll need this kind of teacher. If you're doing this, you'll need that kind of teacher. If you're doing electronics, yeah, you'll need another kind of teacher. It's just kind of part of how it is, people. Get out there, though, and ask the questions. Oh, Carol, what question do you have? I see you've been, I got a question. She's spamming me. I got a question. What is your question, Carol? Now, wait, better yet, where are you from? Yeah, people, remember, you don't have to give me your last name and all. First name, location.
And where you live. Yep, location.
Yeah. Okay, Carol, where are you at? You are in Tyreshire, London. Am I saying that right? Close enough? She's in some place inside of London.
Yeah, I love UK people. I have a lot of friends in
the
UK.
So she's saying that where she grew up in the area of London she grew up is very steeped in magic. It's a very old area.
Yeah.
And it feels, she said, so what her real question is, can you use this magic to not only protect yourself but to protect the area like you're living in? Can you use it to even expand it even further? Like if you live in a neighborhood and for some reason there's something in your whole neighborhood that's aggravating, can you use it to help clear that or cleanse that?
Excellent question. The first part is, yes, you can use it for protection. And even if you don't do the magic, I give a technique, which I didn't invent. It's so old, actually, we don't even know where it came from because it's effective. It's called the Lesser Banishing Ritual of the Pentagram. It's like putting lights of energy of pentagrams around you that gives you protection. Actually, if you do that before you go to sleep, you get a pretty good night's sleep. I teach that more than almost even magic. It takes about 2 minutes to do. But magic, yes, I believe you can. I believe, and actually an aspect of magic is that it does bring you closer to the source. You're communicating with angels, so you're bringing down on yourself a lot of protection and energy. Now, look, let's face it. Life has up or downs, and sometimes we're meant to have bad things happen. Part of the destiny, we can't understand it. So magic is not going to be a cure-all to make your life easy. But I think like prayer and other things, it's a very good tool. Now, can it help the neighborhood or the universe or further out? I actually never thought of that. But the answer is probably yes. And the reason I could say that is, I don't know if you heard those bangs, but nobody really is shooting at me, I promise, okay? the Maharishi's was goal was to have 1% of the entire population of the world meditating. And he said that could change the consciousness of the entire world. And there's other masters that said, as certain people become higher in consciousness, as we have more spiritually high people, that energy spreads. So yes, I think the, again, I can't tell you 100%. I definitely can tell you it has an effect on you and usually will give you some protection. I used to teach my ghost hunter friends the LBRP, Lesser Banishing Ritual of the Pentagram, and I told them, always do that before you go to a ghost hunting session and do it before you leave, because that is, again, it's so effective. It's been in existence so long, we don't even know where it came from. So that's a really excellent question, and again, maybe like anything, some, you know, I can't do certain things. Some people have trouble meditating, and some people may have trouble doing magic. So like we both agree, Joe, you try it out, and if you like it, if it works, my son's an athlete. He was a track star. He was a second in the state, and I taught him transcendental meditation. I told him the basis of it. And he noticed his body physiology would change. And sometimes a lot of athletes, this is years ago, not, I don't know how popular it is now. I haven't really kept in touch. But it does cause a change in the physiology that maybe give you a little edge. Maybe you feel better. So everyone is different. Everyone will react different. So I hope that that answers the question. That I think the answer is yes to both of those.
Yeah, there you go, guys. Actually, guys, I just got a piece of email, something a friend of mine sent me just now. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but it's just on a side note, because I just a little bragging, because y'all know I do a lot of work for Galaxy Press and Ron L. Hubbard people and the Ron L. Hubbard Awards and stuff like that. So in turn, they're sending me the man, the endangered species. It's a lithograph. It's a beautiful, and it's engraved. It's autographed. It's a beautiful poster. It's worth about $3,000. Guys, come check it out, man. I'm going to post it when I get it, when it comes in. These people are great. I love working with them. And the reason I brought it up is because, you know, we do a lot of stuff in this network. Well, the Ron L. Harvard Award is for up and coming or anybody who wants to write a short story. You can write a short story, send it to them. It's judged. No one knows anonymously. They don't know who you are. They don't know what color you are. They don't know what sex you are. The story goes to the judges. They read the judges. The judges read it, and they decide what stories they're going to host. So they host 12 stories a year in the book. And so they're on book 37 right now. You can buy the book, and you can read the 12 stories. And then it comes with a lot of other stuff, the artwork and other things. But anyway, if you win, they select several winners a year. I think it's like 12 or 24 winners a year. They fly you out to L.A. They hook you up with the really big writers and help you to get a leg up in writing. It's a great thing. People that take really great. There's dinners, workshops. They take really good care of you. I love having them on. John and Emily are regulars on the network now. I just had Robert J. Sawyer on with me last week. He's got 24 sci-fi novels to his credit. And he's got them on so you can listen to them in audiobook, so, which is great for me. So just, you know, quick plug for the guys, you know, and this is just a something for me and in turn for helping them out. And I'm going to continue because I really like them. And John didn't get a meeting. He was off that night. I had him on here with us, but they did close to 1 million listeners that night. And, you know, people, it's Galaxy Press and galaxypress.com. And right now, if you're an up and coming writer, they have a program that you can join for free and they will help school you in writing your first book. So get over there and get involved. Wow. Sorry about that, John.
I want to do a short commercial for our sponsor, if you don't mind.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
But before I do that, I just looked and we're at 998K. Well, I guess one of my bucket lists is to get 1 million views or listens on SoundCloud. So I need 2,000 people out there to make sure you go and listen to last week's show with John Elite, Gotti's Hitman. I got to say, in the 8 or 9 years I've done radio, Joe, I think – I've enjoyed that interview the most.
It's a lot of fun. It was a good interview and a lot of fun. Yeah, 998,000 people. Come on. It's 2,000 people. Get over there. Click this morning. I listen to the show tonight. Come on. Go click it.
Yeah, make my dream come true. And I told you, Joe, if we do it, then I'm calling you and we're going to open up a bottle of champagne. But I want to mention, you know, our sponsor of the show, Folgers Coffee. And what people don't realize, they're in New Orleans, right? That's where they were founded. And James Folger, it's an interesting story. I don't want to take a minute to say this, but I know we'll be running commercials. But after the Civil War, you know, or before, he was involved in coffee manufacturing. And then afterwards, he launched the J.A. Folger's company. And the first to come out with instant coffee in 53 and then improved it in 58. But this is a real American story of a person starting from scratch and building up a company. And what I was very impressed was when Katrina hit New Orleans and people that worked for his company, I guess the grandson, whoever, the people that lost their homes, he set up housing for them on the Folgers property and took care of them. And I didn't know that. And obviously, they don't brag about it, but I guess I would say I'm honored for them to be our sponsor. Folgers was the first coffee I actually drank in high school. Getting it from my girlfriend. And there's a lot of good ones. My favorite is the classic roast. And I want to thank Folgers for being a sponsor and thank them for.
And I love some of their black silk coffee, people. I really do. It's really good stuff.
It really is. And, you know, they're really a good example of the American dream and giving back by helping after Katrina. So,
well, you know, I grew up on coffee and chicory, you know, down here, if you go to like Morning Call at Cafe Dumont, which is a beignet shop, in case you, and if you don't know what a beignet is, it's a square French donut, but it's not really a donut, but it looks like it. Anyway, they're really good. They throw a little powdered sugar on it. So they give you this really stout coffee. And what they do is it's coffee and sugar. So they pour half a cup of coffee and then half a cup of cream, steamed cream, and you mix it together, because if you don't, for most
that
people,
sounds coffee good. Is
way overpowering. Well, I grew up in that kind of coffee, so I had started drinking Community because I was looking for something stout, and I still like Community coffee. I don't want to take anything away from it. But one night, my wife and I were shopping, and I seen this black silk, and it said it's really dark, very strong. But I said, you know what, I'll give it a chance. And I got, you know, brought it home, fixed it up. Yeah. And fixed it up. And then, man, I was like the whole night, like, this is fabulous coffee. And I was co-hosting back then with Stephanie Benetti on the News on the Flipside show. And man, she's talking away, and I'm sitting there with my cup. I'm drinking my coffee. And she said, you're in awful quiet. I said, man, it's really good coffee. And she starts talking about something else. And I'm still doing this. And she comes back. She goes, what the hell is in that coffee? I said, I don't know, Stephanie. It's damn good. It's sex, man. This is some freaking good coffee. And she starts laughing. I'm like, no, I'm serious. This is some good coffee. So for the next few weeks, I'm drinking a coffee. Everybody's cracking jokes. But I'm telling you, people, damn coffee was good. Now, I like a real cream with my coffee. I know a lot of people like it black, but I like a really good cream because I drink a stout coffee. So I like a good cream. And sometimes I'll even get explored and maybe try some of that, that Italian sweet cream or maybe some ice cream type. But I like a good cream in my coffee. So for that, it's really good because it doesn't diminish the flavor of the coffee because it's a strong coffee. If you use like a medium blend or a light blend, the cream will overpower the coffee or the sugar will, one or the other. So what do you mean, Chris? Christopher? Oh, no, man, I like a half a pound of sugar with my coffee. Yeah.
I do too. I no milk, just sugar. That's, you know.
That is the only thing I use real sugar for anymore is coffee.
But yeah, I guess just to say thank you, Folgers, for sponsoring our show. And it's
definitely
very grateful. You know,
and that's why John and I are here, because of them.
Got other questions here?
That's what I'm reading.
Joe, let me say something real quick. I've been working on, remember James Westwood, the former NSA cryptologist who I've been working with for 2 years, he was a guest on our show, so you may want to pull that one out of the archives. And we talked a little bit how we've decoded some of these ancient magical texts and encoded diagrams, and a lot of them turned out to be spy codes, and they really weren't magical, you know. And that
happens sometimes. I mean, well, I didn't.
That's interesting.
It is. It is interesting because, you know, anytime stuff like that comes, well, you know, it's interesting you brought that up, because a couple of years ago, a friend of mine was sending me these writings and these texts. And I'm like, what the hell is this? He said, I'm just curious if you know what it is. I was like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I said, it looks like jibber jabber. And he's like, no, it's very important. And he kept going on. So I said, well, stop sending them to me if you're not going to tell me what they are. I said, because it's jibber jabber. Well, these were old texts from World War II that he was sending me.
Oh, you're
that's
kidding.
That's a Navajo. He sent me later on, the Navajo's translation of it. These were code breakers and code writers for the United States, the Navajo tribe. And he was sending me the originals. And it was really cool because when you looked at it, man, there was no way this shit looked like jibber jabber. I don't care what kind of IQ you got, this looked like jibber jabber. It would took you forever to find patterns and this stuff. But the code breakers were great at this, and then the code writers were great. And it was just interesting to read it and what it actually meant versus what you were looking at. I'll have to post them sometime so y'all can look at it, because no, it's not classified. No, this is all declassified.
Oh, yeah. They had some good books on the Navajo code breakers. Didn't they called Hitler the crazy man or something in their code? It was really interesting, the names they gave certain people and events. And they were a big contribution to World War II, as you know, Joe, and very little appreciated. And but I think people are starting to realize the contribution they made, you know?
Well, you know, people, it's all interesting stuff. Darlene, no, it's not. Who is that? Devil Packer. What the hell kind of name is Devil Packer? Oh, okay. Well, you can use it. It's a chat room. I don't care what you know. That's in Paltalk. Yeah, I don't care about that. No, it doesn't matter. Anyway, what's your question? So let me get this whole thing in my head right. So what you're asking is, okay, when did Satan use any type of Enochian magic when he was, as he says, released from his obligations of heaven? I like the way you put that. By the way, that was a very way of saying he got the shit kicked out of heaven by Michael. But we'll leave that alone for now. What he wants to know, yeah. So you're asking? Well, I mean, they should be stronger than that, right? I mean, a demon. Well, at the time he was an archangel, so he should have been much more powerful than that, right? I mean, I don't know, people. I'm guessing here.
A lot of this is speculation and based on ancient texts, but and I believe there was a Satan or Lucifer. It was known as the Light Bearer. He was one of the closest and strongest angels to God. And the theology goes, I used to teach historical theology, so I know a little bit about it, that what Satan's sin was, or what you could say his fault was, that when God created man, he wanted the angels, not to worship man, but that these were a special creation to love God. And they were jealous, and they would not, in a sense, I don't say they would bow down to man, but accept man as a loving creation of God. And that's why, whether they were thrown out of heaven or left, or whether a third of them went. But the interesting thing is people ask, well, how come God doesn't forgive the saints, or can they, fallen angels, or can they repent? And they actually can't. It would take me an hour to go into the theology, because it's like they can see not the future, but the whole mechanism of the creation. And when they make a decision, they made it totally, and they never reverse it. It's just the nature of them. But we as humans, we can repent and change. And the good thing, the message to get across, is no matter how bad we are or what we did, you know, we can be forgiven. And so that's the whole thing about Satan and the fallen angels and the evil angels. What really happened is kind of a mystery. But that's what, you know, legend tells us. And not only in Christianity, but in a lot of other Eastern religions have similar stories, different names. The Quran has a very good description of it. But the lesson I take away is that we have free will. We make our decisions. I'm not going to worry about, since God can see the future, he knows what our decisions are going to make. I mean, these are questions we can't answer. But we do have free will, I believe, and we can make decisions, and we can make good of things we did bad for, and we can be forgiven. There's always the thought, as up to your last breathing moment, you can repent. Repent to me is not a big thing. It's just basically in your heart saying, you know, maybe I wasn't perfect. Maybe I made mistakes. Maybe I hurt people. And I'm truly sorry. I didn't mean that. And I, repent for the bad things I did. I wish I would have known those. I think it's as simple as
Catholic,
that.
If you're Catholic, you can always go for extra unction.
What? I'm sorry?
Extra unction. Okay, people, if you're dying and there's a priest nearby, he can give you extra unction. That does not get you in heaven.
They call it now. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, they can't. That doesn't get you into heaven. It gets you into purgatory. So you don't go to hell. That's what
interesting? Because I've been, I've been into every religion, cult, belief out there, okay? Secret society. And right now I'm not into anything, because I don't think any of them really have any special secrets. But people don't like purgatory. But logically, to me, as a scientist even, it makes the most sense, because we're not perfect when we die, but we want to purify our soul to go to higher levels. And purgatory maybe is like that stage where we can, you know, maybe some people are reincarnated. They really need to come back. Some people don't, but they have to purify their spirit more. Maybe that's what purgatory is. It's not a bad thing. It's a way of knowing yourself, know thyself, you know. So I always say that everyone out there will tell you what happens when we die, but nobody knows for sure, you know. And unfortunately, one day, or maybe fortunately, one day we'll find out. And so this is a really good question. Anything else on the?
I got all kinds of stuff popping all over the screen here. Okay, one little thing at a time here, people. Well, we weren't actually talking about that, but we can bring it up. So Well, first off, personally, if you're asking me about purgatory, I believe we live in purgatory now. I believe Earth is purgatory. Yeah.
Yes, some people believe it's hell. Point.
Yeah. Some people think it's hell. I don't think it's hell. I think it's purgatory. It's in between. You know, there's Satan on one side, God on the side. We're in the middle. And this is because we're constantly learning, people. We're constantly, well, if you believe in reincarnation, it's the same thing. But we're here until we can move into one of them. Let me put it this way. You're here until you either prove you're good enough to go to this one or bad enough to go to that one. How's that? Does that help y'all? I mean, I don't know how else to put it.
It's a good answer.
You know,
Nobody knows. It's all, in a sense, it's really all speculation. I mean, I say nobody's really ever came back. Well, people think Jesus came back, but in a sense, in modern times, nobody's really ever came back from the dead. And by the way, these death experiences and all this, and I think they can be explained without the idea that people entered a higher realm, but I won't go into it at as a neurophysiologist, but no one has actually ever came back and proved that they were on the other side and this is what happens to everybody. So, but I know people will argue with me that all these people that wrote the books on near-death experiences and this and that, but they're very varied. They depend on the people's beliefs. There's so many different ways neurophysiologically you can explain them. And I think it's a possibility. I'm not ruling it out. But I would want more proof before I believe that someone really crossed over and then came back. So, but yeah, I think you're right, Joe. This maybe is the beginning of purgatory, and it gives us a chance to work on ourselves. And maybe if we don't do a good job, there's other less pleasant alternatives we have to deal with, you know? Who knows?
Marissa John's in the battlefield right now. He's in Hong Kong. They're trying to take over. No, I'm just teasing. It's 4th of July, people. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't know you were from France. Yeah, well, I guess it would like be Bastille Day for y'all. Well, the other day it was Canada Day on July 1st. So, you know, all these holidays get grouped up together.
Yeah, but I got anyway, messed up on that. I saw everything that said Canada Day and I didn't have my glasses on. I'm saying, why is everybody posting things on Canada Dry? Are they running commercials?
I know.
And then I put my glasses on. And so,
hey, what's up, peeps out there in the real world? Oh, Canadians. Well, like last night, I was on, I was a guest on, by the way, if you want me to check it out, we had 2 million listeners last night, on The Outer Realm with Michelle DeRocher and Amelia Pisano and myself. And, you know, Michelle DeRocher is from Canada's Most Haunted. She's quite famous. She's been on many, many TV shows over the years. And she's an excellent host, and she's got a lot of skills. But anyway, with the three of us on there, it pulls a big audience. But I just enjoyed being on there. We did, what did we do last night? Types of Aliens and Alien Agendas. Go check it out. Yeah, well, there's lots of shows out there for y'all to listen to. And this show here is just going to get better as we go along. John, I got a lot of big guests coming up. We're going to be doing some specialty shows.
Oh, my God.
Shows.
Yeah.
We're looking
at we got some controversy. I got a warning.
Oh, by the way, I'm glad. Wait before you do that. Quick, guys, I'm looking for a connect to Elon Musk. We would like to. We have an audience big enough that he would be interested. We just need to connect to get in there without having to go through 800 million emails to get to him. So I'm sure somebody out there knows. We'll also be mailing the likes of Neil deGrasse Tyson, Michio Kaku, Paul Levesque, John Cate. You know, there's lots of physicists and other people we want to bring on and talk to. John and I are also going to be doing some space science here real soon, colonization of Mars, things like that. So, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you've got a guest that you would like to hear, you can send it to us. If you got any contact information, I guess that will help as well. But, you know, we're theming out our show for the next 4 or 5 months. So, you know, get your hope or your guest wish in now, and we'll see what we can do for you. What do you think, John?
Yeah. And you know, we do have some controversial guests coming on. Yes. I got to warn people. And actually, it's funny. I mean, Joe, remember one show you and I went at each other? We had such a good time.
It was a good show.
And I was actually taking the devil's advocate of things I really believed in. I mean, I didn't that you believed in. It was so much fun. But controversy, that's what peer review is. That's why you defend your dissertation. That's how science works. You know, you got to challenge the claims of people and you have fun and you do it respectfully, of course. But, you know, it's a fun thing. So we're going to have some controversial people on. You may not agree with it, but I'll tell you, it's going to be entertaining as hell. And it may make you think, and that's what we're here for, make you think and maybe learn.
Hopefully you'll learn anyway. What do you mean teach? Well, you know what? I'm glad you said that. Kimra, is that how you say that? I've always had a thing about this. People always talk to me about karma, and it's, oh, it's your karma. You know, sometimes I think it's my karma to teach you people a lesson. Oh, yes. I think that some of us are here to teach and not to learn, and some of us are here to do both. Because sometimes shit bad happens. You say, oh, it was my karma. Well, yeah, well, it might have been my karma. You might be hating a guy who taught you the lesson, who's shame on you. So you're not learning your karma then, are you? If you believe in that sort of stuff. But personally, yeah, I think I'm here to teach just as much as I'm here to learn. Carol, I definitely believe I'm here. I learn something new every day. Every day. And I try to. As a matter of fact, when Michelle and I were talking just before John and I got on, I actually learned something new. And John shares stuff from time to time that's new. So it's all about, you know, filling your mind with good information, not useless information. I seen what you said, Denise. Yes, I was watching your comments, smartass. But it is. It's all about learning. Well, we ain't going to get into all about love and just get off of that subject before you get started on that.
Oh, and you know, Joe, I wrote a book on Andrew Jackson Davis, which was a clairvoyant in the 19th century and predicted all these things. But my favorite quote from him, which applies to what we're saying, was he said, "Don't expect me to believe today what I believed yesterday, and don't expect me to believe tomorrow what I believe today. I hope to make progress every single day." And I like that, because sometimes people criticize me and say, "Oh, wait a minute. Years ago, you said this." And I said, "Well, I've revised my beliefs and theories based on new facts and information." And that's normal learning for people. So we need to learn every day. We need to move on. By the way, we're at $9.99. So the people out there are listening. Thank you.
That's it, people. Push it over the top. Grumble. It's somebody, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine too earlier today, and we do some self-promoting and music for some friends of ours and our friends of mine and stuff like that. And there's a site on YouTube, it's 666 Mr. Doom. Why don't y'all go take a listen? And the song is Die by Nature. Take a listen to it, tell me what y'all think. It's just a friend of mine's kid, actually. And they're producing new music, and, you know, take a listen. Yeah, well, that's the advantages of knowing the boss, isn't it, Denise? Yeah. It actually helps to know somebody in radio. How do you think people who don't have any, have never had a chance or a break, get on radio? They got to know somebody. Mm-hmm. But go check it out. Let me know what you think. Write to me.
Well, the other thing, Joe, I think why our show is unique and why you and I are unique co-hosts is that essentially, we don't really have an agenda trying to push anything or sell anything. We are interested in the facts. We want to explore both areas, and we're open. And I think that's missing today. People look at everything through their own theories, through their own bias. And you and I are very similar now. We really want to see what's out there. I think that's why your iCar and all your research and your groups are very popular and successful, because that's the approach you have. You're very open, but yet you want the facts. So you approach them in a scientific manner. And I think we need more of that, because let's face it, there's a sucker born every minute. And that's how cults operate, by just saying, "Oh, just accept what I say." So, you know, you need to be skeptical. We need to be logical, use your common sense. And when people make claims are just claims. Let them back it up with data. And we do that. And I know when we have guests on, we challenge them sometimes. And we, we do it respectfully. But, you know, if you're going to come on and make a claim, we want to know, what have you done? If you say you're abducted, well, you know, what evidence do you have for it? And or whatever. So I think the science and beyond is a new perspective out there. Plus, you know, you and I, in a sense, are both scientists. You're an engineer, too. And it's very unusual for people from, say, mainline academia or from technical areas to be interested in the paranormal and apply the skills to it. And that's what we try to do. And that's why I enjoyed the show so much with you, because we have that unique approach. And I don't, you know, I mean, every show is unique in a sense. And I think that's why we're unique. It's like, remember in Animal House? Every fraternity has their attributes, you know. And then a guy says, "Cut the crap. What about Delta?" You remember that one? I brought that up. That was one of my favorite movies, is Animal House. But no, every person, every theory, every group, every whatever, they may have a unique gift, a unique perspective. And I think ours is our science and engineering and solid approach to looking at the paranormal and anything, science, paranormal, beyond. So we have fun doing it too, you know.
Let's see who we got here next. We have Henry, where are you calling from? California, out there in the middle of a COVID crisis, huh? Northern California. Where's Eureka, he from? California? Eureka, California. Eureka, California. Like the TV show Eureka, yeah. What you got for us, man? What do you got? Oh, you don't believe in any kind of magic? You think it's okay? He's making a statement, and we can address this. So he's saying that all magic is fake. It can all be explained by science, and that people who think they are gifted or telepaths or magic probably need to seek professional help. Well, yeah, that's your opinion. What do you think, John?
Well, yeah, it's actually real. I always hope for questions like that because, first of all, many times I have my doubts. Is magic real? And being a neurophysiologist, I know a lot of it can possibly be explained by brain activity and mechanism. So sometimes I stride the fence and I go into that. Well, maybe, but yes, it can be explained by science, but a lot of it, the science is not known yet. Like electricity or lightning in ancient times, they didn't know what it was, and that was magic. And then later science was able to delineate and describe and quantify it. So, yes, I think magic will eventually be, described and equate. I've already been working on equations to describe some of the forces in it. Now, I need them peer reviewed. I need to publish it. But so, yes, I think. And I think that's a healthy way of looking at it because there are a lot of charlatans out there. There are a lot of groups that take advantage of people. There are a lot of magical groups that I think I would hesitate in recommending. And so I'd rather people be on that side of the fence than, oh, I believe everything. Everybody's a psychic. Everybody can do magic and whatever. I don't go as far to say to him that he's saying that people who believe in it or explore it need psychological help. I mean, I think that two aspects. One, I look at it more a lot through science, but also through experimental and ritual magic. So I can do things, and if they work, I believe there's some substance to it, but yet I still would like to quantify it with science. So, besides that last part, I think, yeah, if somebody said to me, would you rather be a believer in everything or be skeptical in everything? I'd say I'd rather you be skeptical in everything. Say, show me the proof before I believe it. And again, that's how cults operate. You got to be careful today. And that's why I say, too, when you go, and you even said this, Joe, when you go to psychics and all these people, you got to be careful. I mean, you go to a psychic fair and there's 100 people doing readings. Do you really believe every one of those has 100% psychic ability? And like I said, I think there's very few charlatans, very few. I've never really came upon them. But, it could be their imagination, their wishful thinking. It could be. But I believe the cortical area of the brain is going to be the key in really figuring out how Enochian magic works. Because it's the area, and maybe the pineal gland too, we don't know, and thalamic area, who knows, it's all speculation. So yeah. I bet you didn't expect that kind of answer, huh?
Yeah, no, it's who's that? Y'all got some weird names in here tonight. Let's see, that's Real News, The Big Show, Black Lighting. J.P. Perry, he's one of our regulars in the other chat room, in the Pal Talk room. Let's see, right, y'all just chit-chatting. Joanne, what you got for us, Joanne? Wow, what a common name. I mean, I didn't mean that in a bad way. I just haven't seen Joanne around. It used to be a very popular name back in the day. What you got for us, Joanne? And where are you from? Joanne is from Buffalo, New York. Well, welcome, Buffalo, New York. How you doing
up
there?
I'm from New York, New York City. Oh, wow. Well, you're upstate. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah, what do you got for us? We need to use some magic on. All right, sweetie.
Political, well, I bet, right?
Yeah. She said we need to use some magic on.
Let's skip that one, right,
De Blasio. She said, yeah, we need to cast a spell on De Blasio and Como. I don't want to bring that kind of karma on myself. Okay, y'all, you're up there in New York. You're gonna have to do that on your own. Maybe you can talk John in. He's up there in New York. But I mean, maybe you can sweet talk him, but I'm not counting on it. Well, you know, guys, it's look, maybe it's their karma to be assholes. Oh, excuse me. I didn't mean to say it on air like that, but hopefully the machine got that. But yeah, maybe it is their karma to be buttholes. I mean, some people are like that. You know, they can't help themselves. And I don't like any of them. That's why I don't live in New York. If they had different politicians, I might live in New York. But right now, they got a bunch of morons running the place. But that's not what we're here to talk about tonight. So. But, your question. Okay. Well, anyway, her real question is, can you use magic to remove people like that?
Can you what? I'm sorry. Can you hear the fireworks, by the way?
I can hear them.
I apologize. I
can hear them at your house, and I can hear them at my house.
Yeah.
But she wanted to know if you can really use magic to get rid of people like that, to remove them or help them get out of office. I guess is what you said.
No, I usually use Guido the Bookie or Fat Tony from the South Bronx. They're a little more reliable, and they
You know, I sent the other John a tip from last week. He might help you.
I'm joking, of course, but you know, I personally don't think so. I think magic really is in its infancy, or we lost it and it's coming back, and so that's why even the people who have the ability. It's really takes time to develop it and trying to figure out what we can do. But I think it's really more for the spiritual development and in perfection of our spirit or soul or whatever, and not for physical manipulation, even though I believe it can be used. But I think I haven't really found one person that could really do it effectively. Okay, I've produced some physical manifestations, but a lot of them were like, I didn't expect them. They just happened. So to control them, like to control the weather, control somebody, I don't believe you can do it. I'm open to the challenge. Like you know, somebody can prove. I used to have challenges on Facebook to my psychics. Tell me one thing about me that nobody else knows for 5 years. And then I'd list 20 questions and nobody ever answered one of them correctly. Now, that doesn't mean there's no good psychics. I just think there's very few that have really top ability, and those probably aren't on Facebook. So, you know, it's difficult. I wanted to know what my grandma said to me before she died. What was the name of my spy handler? Did I do any, who did I work for? What, you know, I did specific questions. What did, you know, things like that, and never got a, I know people sometimes came close to it. So, maybe they were picking up on something. So the point being is, yes, I'm a skeptic, but I'm a believer. I'm in the middle. I'm saying, yeah, I believe in the paranormal. I believe in magic. I believe in higher planes. I believe in angels and demons, but I don't believe everyone who claims they can talk to these people or do magic or has psychic ability can do it. It may be their imagination or wishful thinking, and yet some can do it. And that's the challenge, because when people ask me, who do you recommend for like a psychic reading or this or that? It's hard because I'm not psychic at all, so I can't make that judgment. And I say, you know, you're just going to have to go with your gut feeling, and that's not always good either, you know.
Marsha, you can watch us on YouTube. Yeah, we're on YouTube. Yeah, you can pop right in, pop right on. It's United Public Radio on YouTube.
I also got a free commercial. This is my first book.
Go check it out. We're on YouTube.
And you can... My second book was Decoding the Enochian Secrets. My NSA friend calls them my trilogy on Enochian magic, but they're really all independent books. This one, I have a lot of aura pictures I did of relics and artifacts from a voodoo mansion. So they're all different. One of them has a lot on, believe it or not, string theory and quantum physics applied to magic. And I do a whole chapter on that. I'm into everything. You know, it's like you, Joe, I'm curious about everything. I want to learn about it, apply it. How does this fit in? And so I'm constantly evolving in my theory. And, you know, you can ask me a question today and I'll give you a different answer tomorrow. You know?
Yeah. What the hell, people? What was that? Oh, your name is 666?
Well, it could be 626 if you go to the different... way of spelling.
So curiosity for y'all people, do you realize that the devil number is 999, right? not 666. You know why it's 999? Because when you look at 999 in the mirror, it's 666. Did y'all know that? Y'all didn't know that, did y'all? Uh-huh. So if you were looking at 666 and the devil looked at you in the mirror, it'd be 999. So it's 999 is 666. See, y'all learn something every day. I know it's confusing, but that's how it works. Well, no, the first time anybody told me that, I was talking to a Catholic preacher, and he said, no, the devil's number is not 666, Joe. It's 999. He said it's only 666 when he's looking into the mirror and you can see the reflection back. And I was like, really? I didn't know that. Like, you know what? Another piece of useless knowledge y'all can learn about. Did you know that the South American toilets flush the opposite way of the North American toilets? Did y'all know that? Just randomly useless information, yeah. I just thought I'd tell you that in case you ever travel to South America or below the equator, I should say. And you're like, what's going on here? I know, I'm serious. It's true. It was just useless information. I mean, it's one of them things. There's going to be a show.
Hey, by the way, Joe, we hit 1 million on the air.
Ooh, it's party down, people.
It doesn't take much to please me, but let be honest with you, after being on radio for 8 or 9 years, and sometimes I was happy if I had 100 listeners, and then I got on your network and just totally overwhelmed. If somebody would say to me someday, I would, and we got more than that. That's just SoundCloud, right? You know, we didn't talk about the live listeners and iHeart, iTunes, you know, all those other ones. So it's a lot more. But what I like about SoundCloud, it's public knowledge and it's just cool. Yeah. 1M, you know?
You can go over there and look yourselves. You don't have to worry about us. Yeah, it's sitting right at 1 million, too. That's from last Friday. So this archive did about 125 a day, 130 a day.
Oh, give out the website again of the network, too, Joe.
If you listen to us live, UPRNTalkRadio.com. If you want to go to SoundCloud, it's simply SoundCloud/UPRN. You are all over SoundCloud. We're all over everywhere. We're on more than 100 archive sites, so you can check us out anywhere. But SoundCloud is one of our main ones, followed by a couple other ones right behind it, and then Podbean. But SoundCloud is where most of the people go. It was a real small server when we got on with them 3 or 4 years ago. And then in the last 16 months, it's really started to grow. In the last 6 months, it's just doubled in size. So thanks to everyone over there. There's more than 20,000 followers. I think 25,000 followers, and it's added on every day. It's connected to, I think, 7,100 radio list on SoundCloud, and then another, I think, 61,000 other lists. It's just connected everywhere. That's why it's popular, and that's why so many people hear it as fast as they do. But, you know, people, check it out. Randy, what do you want to know? Oh, I do have available shows on the network, but they're only paid slots. There are no free slots left on the network, none at all. Sorry, guys. There were only a handful to start off with, and we might do an auction later this year, or we might do a campaign later this year where you may be able to win a spot or buy a spot. But other than that, all the slots or spade slots, and there's very few of those. There's only two or three afternoons and one or two weekend slots open, and they're filling up fast. And then there's day slot time slots, but daytime slots are much more expensive than evening slots. So. Well, if you're interested, you can write to them at icar@cox.net, icar@cox.net. Yeah, no, that's fine. Go on there. Don't forget, people, we are sponsored by Folgers. Also, while we're on this, you can find me on Wednesday nights on UFO Undercover. Boom, boom, boom. Come knock and see me. Then, of course, on Mondays is our panel show. So Mondays is different. This Monday, by the way, it'll be Paranormal Talk. So from 6 to 8 on Mondays. The host will be there discussing paranormal, but next week it'll be the centralist show, which is politics. So it flip-flops every week. Be sure to come check it out. And then on a side note, which we don't have a name for this show yet, but I will be hosting with Michelle Dojeray once a month on Saturdays. That's all it's going to be is once a month. Those shows will be live, okay? But you can only hear them live that night. I mean, you can only hear them for free that night, yes. So if you come listen to the show when it airs, and we'll announce all of that later on, and the title of the show and stuff. But after that, you will only find it on the paid archive. Well, in case y'all know, we do have paid archives for specialty shows and stuff like that. I rarely mention them, but they are up there. You can find them on Podbean and on the website for UPRN. They're there to help promote the station. They're there to help pay for the station and other things. But you will be able to find these there. These are going to be specialty shows. John and I will be doing some of these in the future as well. But these are specialty shows.
Yeah.
And, you know, where we're going to be discussing particular things. And the reason I brought it up is, just like this show, you'll be able to submit not just questions, but you'll be able to submit guest requests or topic requests. Because we're not going to do as many guests on that show as we do on other shows. It's going to be more about the discussions between Michelle and I. No, what do you mean John's Michelle? What are you talking about? No, John and I are doing an entirely different thing. You know, this is, what Michelle and I are doing and what John and I are doing are two different entirely things. We'll probably have John on in the future as a guest. Yeah,
actually,
I am
booked on two of Michelle's regular shows as a guest.
Yeah, yes.
I think sometime in August or September.
Because they do the Outer Realm on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah, she's been a friend of mine on Facebook for many years. A wonderful lady. I have a lot of respect for her.
She's classy.
Oh, I want to mention too, you know, your network, with the hosts that I've met either through, you know, Skype or whatever, you really got the best host, and the shows are so diverse. And I like to plug even my good friend Seraphine Hurley's show, Infinite Inquisition, where she goes into more of the darker, mysterious topics and, you know, things like that. You have political shows. You have, I mean, it's the ufology. I don't know what better network you could go to get a variety. And how many are on the archives you have now?
I've lost count. Actually, we've got 10,000 available right now, and there's about another 55, 58 that are archived. Now, we're posting 80 shows a week right now. So about 30 of those or 20 of those are rerun shows from the past. So like Christine George from Paranormal Connection, her shows will be up. Karen Dolan, Through the Keyholes, will be up. Angela Joyner from Joyner, those shows. All these shows are going up so you can catch them. We also carry Ghostly Talk Radio on the network. Oh, you mean, Chris, you know what? We used to carry conspiratorial, but I never, in order for us to carry you have to advertise a network. If you don't advertise a network, we're not going to carry you. Or you have to pay for your syndication. It just depends. But in their case, they were a free show, but I kept getting reports they weren't, you know, talking about the station. If you're not going to, you know, give us a plug, then we're not going to carry it. It's a real simple thing. No, I enjoyed the show, but that's just the game. It's business, people. It's not, you know, we're not here for exactly my point. But anyway, people, there's a lot going on to keep up with. And then we're getting ready to close out because we got Kathy Belsky coming up in a few minutes with Quantum Leap. John and I are loving this show. You can see. Now, remember this. And we're going to get into this a little more in depth in another show, but we're going to do a lot of guests in the show, but there are going to be shows where John and I are talking, like tonight, about specific topic matter. So, you know, we're going to do a lot of topics over the next year and so if you do have something you want to hear, and at least once a month, John and I will be talking about a specific topic. You might be guests the rest of the time, maybe half the time, but regardless, at least once a month we'll be talking a specific topic. So you can write to John or you can write to me. You can catch us on Facebook.
Yep.
Tell us what you would like to hear. Because, you know, we're very well versed in a lot of topics. Like, all right, Denise, so you're talking about science. So you're talking about the development. So you're talking about the development of electronic and laser type weapons. Well, John and I might take that on. It won't be a full 2 hours, sure, maybe an hour, but we'll probably take that on.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Down the future. Yeah. And maybe we'll even go a little bit step further and say, maybe bring up some designs of what might be coming up in the future. Actually, whoever said that the rail guns weren't working, actually, there's four rail guns been deployed. One of them's on the Zimwal. Yeah, I don't know why they keep saying they're not, and they're scrapping. It's not scrapping that project. Them freaking things are wicked. They may hold the project because the ammo is so expensive, but they're not getting rid of that. That's our answer to Russians' high-speed missiles. Yeah, so we can shoot them out. Yeah, of course, man. We're not getting rid of that. Yeah, don't ever believe liberal media, people. Come on. But I know. I'm gonna let John close this out because we got to get out of here because we're running late. And we ran late to start off with tonight. So, guys and girls, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. United Public Radio. And John, you got the floor.
Joe, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, wait, one more thing. Woohoo! 1 million.
Yeah, you're right.
We're good. I just went woo-woo, 1 million. We're good now. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, I really want to thank you for having me on the show, being my co-host, which this has been like a dream show for me. And I enjoy it thoroughly. You're just a wonderful friend. And I guess for the audience, I want to thank you for listening, for showing your support. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you listening to us and supporting us, Folgers Coffee, and wishing everyone a wonderful and happy, blessed 4th of July. And God bless America. God bless our military. And God bless our veterans. And God bless you all.
Stay safe, people. Have a happy 4th. And coming up next, Quantum Leap with Kasky. Jesus. Kathy Belsky. Good night. I need to go to bed, baby. I have a good night.